the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey everybody, this is episode number 160 of the Golf Podcast. And today we're going to be talking to Richard Todd. He's the author of the Golf Rules series. He's also the author of short stories from the Long Links. And we've had Richard on the show before. We wanted to bring him back because we've had a lot of talk in the Facebook group and just hearing about it everywhere about these rule changes that we're going to be seeing coming from the USGA. So we're going to talk about how they're going to affect you. We're going to try to decode these because there's well over 100 rule changes. We're going to hit on as many of them as we can. And Richard's going to help walk us through that. So I'm excited to see that. But before we bring him on the show, Mike, we've got yet another great giveaway to do right now.
Yes, we are finally giving away what we've been preaching about for a long time, and that's the Impact Snaps. I'm excited. I mean, this, as I've said, it works wonders for my game, and I'm excited to get these into the hands of some of the podcast fans.
Me too. I've been using it daily and just keeping that muscle memory, so it's great. And as always, with our contest, we try to give away as much as we can. We appreciate the guys at Impact Snap for sponsoring this giveaway, and we're going to continue to do that. And the best way to make sure that you're involved, just join our Facebook group. All you got to do is go on Facebook, search The Golf Podcast under groups. You'll see us pop up. It's 100% free to join. And it's a great little community. A lot of guys sharing videos of their swing, asking questions, equipment opinions, things like that. So great way to interact with all the other listeners of the show. And the best part is, once you're in there, you're automatically entered to win in these contests. Okay. So whether you joined the group a month or two ago or just joined, you're entered to win. But that said, without further ado, Mike, let's read off
this week's
winners. Okay. This week we have Shane Neff, Mike Landis, and David Kormanik. I hope I pronounced everybody's names right. What we'll do is we'll also get in touch with you and we'll announce it in the group. This episode drops in a couple days and we'll put everybody's names in there as well. And then we're going to reach out to you guys to get your contact info so that we can get you sent out your Impact Snap. And when you get it, let us know what you think, you know, because like I said, we've been loving it and I'm sure you will too. Okay, Mike, I don't want to take up too much time with our intro because, like I said, we've got a lot to cover. We're going to walk through a lot of these rules with Richard Todd. And a nice another benefit of the Facebook group, Richard is an active member there. He's always there to answer rules questions. We see a lot of guys, when they have a specific question, tagging him. He jumps right in there. He loves it. You know, he eats and sleeps the rules. So
yeah,
he loves the questions. You're not bugging him. And he's got a lot more. He can even talk about it when he comes on. So Mike, let's do a quick word from our sponsor. And then I want to bring Richard right on the show.
This episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored by Impact Snap. If you haven't seen, used, or purchased this training aid yet, do yourself a favor, go and buy it. We all need it. Frank, our good friend Greg Angelillo, who's a scratch golfer, in fact, he was a guest on the Golf Podcast on episode 120, he introduced me to the Impact Snap. He uses it daily, and now so do I. I mean, we all know that I'm nowhere near scratch. I mean, your handicap doesn't matter. Every player needs to release and strike the ball with the proper impact in order to score well. It's that simple. Here's the biggest problem with my golf game. Open hands at impact and a wicked slice as the result. I always talk about this, but now I can fix it. And I could fix it without a coach.
Yeah, Mike, there's a lot of reasons why the Impact Snap is one of the hottest training devices on the market. And it's used by so many of the top training professionals and coaches. But like you, I find myself with those quiet minutes in the office, you know, before the day starts. It's the perfect time for me to work on my release. Just a few swings and I'm locking in that muscle memory that you need to have that release that you can carry out to the golf course. So whether you're in your office, your living room, before a range session, even for a round, you can train yourself to release the club properly and strike more consistent shots with the Impact Snap. Check them out at www.impactsnap.com to pick yours up today. And now listeners of the show can use promo code Golficity for 10% off your order. Again, that's impactsnap.com. Check them out today. Okay, so we have the pleasure of having Richard Todd, author of the Golf Rules series, back on the show. Richard, welcome back.
Thanks so much. I'm great to be here.
Yeah, and you know what? We got to talking immediately in the Facebook group as soon as we heard about these big changes coming. And a lot of listeners were commenting saying, you know, let's do another episode. Let's do a show on this because we got to dissect this. But wow. I mean, I would imagine you've been a busy man the last month or two trying to compile all this and see what's going on. Because I mean, what, 100 rules changes?
100 around the table. Right. I think it was the first Wednesday of the month. I you know, woke up. I thought everything was fine. Get the email from the USGA that, you know, basically the rules are being turned upside down. And it was just mind blowing. But, you know, after hours and hours and hours of studying, I like what they're doing. So, and I think a lot of golfers will too.
Well, that's a good thing. Cause I know a lot of people were worried. They're saying, you know, okay, they're trying to make the game less complex, but then when they hear a number like 100 changes, like it seems a little overwhelming. So I think the biggest thing that I've heard, at least from our listeners, the thing that keeps coming up is like, okay, which ones affect me and how does it affect me? Because we've even heard some pros, and that's a side story I don't even want to get into. We've heard some pros talking about having, well, they should have their own set of rules maybe and this, that. So I think the best thing is if you could help us dissect this and figure out how exactly is this really going to affect the everyday golfer's game.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think a great way to do that is, why don't we just pretend to go through a standard hole and we know what shots we would normally encounter. And I'll explain the current rules and what we're looking at as of January 1st, 2019.
And that was going to be my other question. When are we looking at these things actually taking effect?
Yeah, we're looking at almost 2 years, and the big point is these are all proposed at this point. So it's possible that any one of them or all of them, but unlikely, won't be turned into a rule, but they could be. And much like the compliance rules that the government puts out, their comment period. So over the next, I think it's 4.5 months, you can, every golfer, contact the USGA and let them know what they like or don't like about a suggested rule change.
That's interesting. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take us through. Let's start at the tee box.
And that's the best place. That's where the party starts. Just walking up to the tee box, you may notice that the area is a different size. Currently, the club or the depth of a tee box is 2 club lengths. One of the items that the USGA is trying to do is have a uniformity in their process. So now the depth is 80 inches.
That makes sense.
It's a nice feature. I like it. You know, we don't have the difference between small golfers and long golfers, which somebody mentioned in the Facebook group. You know, they said, you know, go short people. So that will change. So, well, while we're here in the tee box, let's set a ball and we'll go through it. Since this is our first stroke of the day, as some golfers occasionally experience, we just shanked it and it went out of bounds. Current rule is stroke and distance, which for those that aren't sure, that means you count your first stroke that went out of bounds, you count one penalty stroke, and you hit from the same spot, hitting 3. A lot of people like to go to where their ball went out of bounds, general area, and drop and play on. It does keep the pace of play going. Now, here's one of those proposals where the USGA is considering allowing that with a 2-stroke penalty, which it's a nice feature because really that's how a majority of golfers play. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll see if the USGA wants to keep going with that or not.
And that would be the drop would be, you know, where it entered, you know, the OB.
Probably, yeah. Much like a water hazard play, it would be where you cross the margin of the boundary.
Got it.
All right. So let's consider that our ball didn't go out of bounds. It's just over in the rough. So we need to go search for it. Current rule says 5 minutes to search. New rule, 3 minutes, which, again, nice thing for pace of play. And hopefully you can find it in the 3 minutes.
Okay. Shaving 2 minutes off there.
Yeah, a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
While you're searching for the ball, it happens occasionally where you step on it or kick it. Current rules say that is a 1-stroke penalty. Now, here's another one of those areas where the USGA is taking a less penal view. And I like to call these accidental rules, where there is no penalty if you accidentally kick your ball while searching for it. you know, it wasn't something that was meant and it wasn't malicious. So you're just going to replace and replay.
You know, I like that. And I think anybody who plays golf in anywhere where the Northeast or something where there's the fall season, anybody who plays fall golf would probably love that, because anybody who's tried to search under leaves and with, you know, with the foliage being down has stepped on a ball at one point in their life.
Or after a week of rain and
right.
The course hasn't been able to cut the grass.
Yep.
So we found our ball. Now we need to identify it, and let's pretend that we can't see our markings. So we need to lift the ball to make sure it's us. Current rules. Now this, I don't know how many people follow this. You are supposed to announce to your fellow competitors or marker that you are picking up your ball and allow them the opportunity to watch you do that. They want to, I don't know, I guess they want to make sure that you don't give yourself a better lie or move it a foot closer. Mm-hmm. Under the new proposed rules, that's not necessary. The golfer just handles it on their own, which I think is another wonderful idea, because we're required to call penalties on ourselves. Why pretend that we're not going to cheat, or that we would cheat and put the onus back on the golfer?
Right. But we're supposed to be on our honor, you know? So it makes sense if they're going to let us do that then.
Right. So we've picked up our ball, made sure it's ours. We put it right back. Just happened to notice it is embedded in its own pitch mark, which is not the same as saying it's in somebody else's divot. So if the ball off your shot hits the ground so hard, it goes below the surface of the ground, that's called embedded in its own pitch mark. And the current rule says there is free relief allowed in a closely mown area, which is defined as the fairway. Mm-hmm. Under the new rules, it's also in the rough. This is a new definition. They're calling it general area. So now we don't have the rough and the fairway. We just have the general area.
That's interesting. I remember that from the first time we talked about, a lot of people don't know, even in the fairway, where it's that closely mown areas, that you have that relief. So interesting that they're carrying that over into other areas as well.
I think it's nice, right? I remember once my dad took like 4 strokes to move his ball a foot and a half because he didn't realize he could take relief. And of course, you say something after the third stroke.
Right.
It makes it fun.
Right, especially so, if you're playing against him, yeah.
All right, so we need to move that ball. Current drop zone is 1 club length. Under the new rules, you've got a 20-inch arc, which, you know, again, that 1 club length can vary from one golfer to another. I like the idea about a 20-inch arc, but I've looked at my clubs, and I don't have any that are 20 inches. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there, if every golfer is going to have tape on their shafts at the 20-inch mark.
Right.
But that remains to be seen. Also, current drop procedures, as you know, you hold the ball, arm stretched out straight, at shoulder height and drop the ball. And it's allowed to roll 2 club lengths. Under the new proposed rules, and this is one of those mind benders, you must drop the ball at least 1 inch off the ground.
So now that's an interesting one, because we've seen before, like on the PGA Tour, was his arm straight out? Is it up a little bit? So it's good to see that maybe that argument's out of play. But then how many times we watch, like if it's on a slope by the water, and the caddy's stopping the ball from rolling in. I wonder if this shorter drop might change that a little bit.
Absolutely, because not only is the drop height changed, but the ball must stop in that 20-inch arc. Mm. So we're not going to have that case where it's falling 2 club lengths or more, and then you just keep redropping. Granted, if you're on a real hill, it'll be interesting, how far you can get above the ground, you know, that 1 inch to get the ball to stop right there. Do you remember back in the 80s where you had to drop the ball over your shoulder?
Yeah. We're slowly working our way closer to the ground.
We're getting there. Next, we're talking about order of play, because we're getting ready to hit up again. There's been a lot of talk about pace of play. Not only is it encouraged, but the new rule book will mention it and encourage it, not just suggest it. So another great pace of play item. You're starting to see a theme here.
Definitely pace of play theme here. Yep.
Speaking of pace of play, taking a nod from the NBA, we're going to have a shot timer. We now have 40 seconds in which to hit.
Now, when does that when does that start?
I'm assuming it starts once you address the ball, or at least in that vicinity. Haven't seen specifics on it or if there's going to be a penalty, but your playing partner that likes to take 15, 20 practice swings, I think this is the one that's going to get him going.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see some controversy already on the PGA Tour for the first guy who gets that called against them.
Also, when we're getting ready to hit, occasionally you scull your ball or whatever, it hits your golf bag or yourself. Currently, one stroke penalty for hitting equipment or yourself. Falling under the new accidental rules, no penalty, just play on. So I really like where they're going with this. Not so much a laundry list of rules, but let's just play the game.
Right. I love that accidental idea too, because it's one more thing we talk about growing the game. You don't want, you know, people feel like they're new to the game and they're getting nitpicked out there for stuff that they didn't necessarily do, you know, purposefully wrong. You know, they're learning the game, they make a mistake, they hit the ball, hits their bag or something like that. And now on top of that, they're getting a penalty. So I like that. I like that. It makes it a little more friendly.
Right. And uniform seems to be another big rule. So our next shot, unfortunately, we hit it into the greenside bunker. So we're in the sandy area hazard here. I'm sure we don't all get to play as nice places as Mike does. So he might not understand this. But sometimes leaves and sticks accumulate in the bottom of these hazards. Current rules, you can't move them. Those loose impediments must stay there. Interesting side note, the rules do not allow you to see your ball to play it. So if you're ball slides down in the middle of that hazard, and let's say, you know, there's a foot deep pile of leaves, you don't have to see your ball in order to play it. That's current rules. Again, we're getting smarter here. New rules say you can remove loose impediments, which I think is great. You can do that in the fairway. You can do that on the green. We're just moving it. You can do it in the hazards now too.
Now, what if, this is a side question because it happened to me.
Sure.
What if it causes the ball to move? Because I had a situation last summer where I had a ball resting on a stick in, and it was a significant stick in the bunker. And I had to just smack the ball and crack the stick in half.
Right. Well, that's okay because you needed to play it off that. This is, I don't think, any different than if you're moving a stick or a leaf in the fairway. You know, you can't let the ball move.
Got it. Okay.
You know, I keep thinking of that replay where Tiger was moving all those sticks and his ball, air quotes, oscillated.
Right.
Which is another term. But speaking of terms, so hazard, water hazard, they have a new term for this. It's called penalty areas. So now we don't have as many terms to work with. We don't have to think about there's different rules in the water hazard versus, you know, greenside bunker hazard. So penalty areas is a new keyword. Keep that in mind. Mm. And while we're in the penalty area here, same rule still applies that you cannot take a practice stroke, but now you can ground your club. And so if you're standing around waiting for your turn and, you know, you're leaning on your club, that's okay. As long as you don't do it in front of the ball, behind the ball, or with the intent of testing the ground, and testing being their key word, just trying to gauge the consistency.
Wow, that's one that would take some getting used to. I think it would take a long time before I put my club down in a bunker. That's for sure.
Exactly, and that carries over into the water hazards too.
Yeah.
So the all penalty areas, which is another nice one. So. Now, here's one. Occasionally, we've gotten stuck in a bunker where 3, 4, 5 strokes, you don't get out. There's a new option. You have relief, 2-stroke penalty, and you can drop on the flag line. Flag line is the imaginary line from the flag stick through where your ball's at behind you. So as far back as you want to go, you can drop on that line for two strokes, which might be better than most people taking to just hit the ball out of the bunkers.
True. So is there a point in time when that is auto-enacted, or is that up to you? Like, let's say you're three strokes in. At that point, you just have to take this, or how's it work?
No, I'm sure that is definitely on the own golfer, kind of like an unplayable lie.
Got it.
That is only defined by the golfer, and it could be, you can use that any way you want. So let's finally get the ball out of the hazard and up on the putting green. There's a lot of great stuff going on here. Spike marks. Current rule, you cannot fix spike marks. Now you can, which really just makes sense. You can fix ball marks, you can fix old cup marks, and spike marks, it's only fair. You know, if you're the 30th group out for the day, you know, should your ball be bouncing around just because you drew the short straw and everybody's walked on your line already? So now we can fix that too.
And this is the one that I had heard some people complaining about, concerns that someone could, under the guise of fixing that, create a groove for putting, you know, make it a little bit easier. But truthfully, I just don't know. In practicality, like, you know, we talk about intent and stuff like that. And I got to think you're gonna pick that up if somebody's making a groove towards the hole.
Yes, I think so too. That would take a lot of work. And I'm not sure, even if you intentionally tried, if you could make a groove, you would have to really do a lot of work.
Right.
And here's the one that blew my mind, the flag stick. Current rule, if you're putting, as you know, you cannot hit the flagstick or the attendant. New rule, no problem. Leave the flagstick in and you can putt with it, which I think a lot of people will do that just for that extra backboard. You got probably a little less likely of overshooting the hole, or at least going right over the hole.
Especially if you're putting downhill.
Exactly.
And, now, that's an interesting one. So this is not something that we're talking about. If you unintentionally hit it, it's okay. You're saying you can actually make the active choice of using that flag stick.
Yes. And to me, this one is such a mindset, because this rule was the reason I started writing golf books. Because my dad chewed me out 30 years ago because I didn't pull. Well, because I did pull the flag stick out and he wanted it in.
I remember that. But it was either in or it was out, you said. Because
exactly.
It was, you know, halfway through the putt. It's like, well, pull it or don't pull it. That's interesting. Yeah.
So this will be interesting. Speaking of which, I did a little calculation. And if we assume, I want to say 3 minutes a hole for, you know, pulling the flag stick out, walking over, set it down, walking to pick it up, put it back in. We're looking at saving 30 to 60 minutes around just not having to mess with the flag stick.
Wow.
I mean, there are times when I'm sure we will want to pull it out, but if you left it in, your round's going to go a little quicker.
It is true. Sometimes you play on those really big greens and you feel like you're walking 20 feet to go drop the flag stick off the green and come back. Yeah.
And another accidental rule, currently, if you accidentally kick your ball or move it, there's a penalty. New rule, no penalty, which is great. I think it was DJ, you know, where you're sitting over the ball and all of a sudden it moves and you're not sure why. You know, the question is, well, did the golfer stand too close to the ball? Did he, you know, did he move the earth a little bit? Under the new rules, no penalty, replace and move on. You have to know with 95% certainty that the golfer made the ball move.
Wow.
So
another one I really like. That I like, because if you think about the other side of it, what would really be the point? Like, what's the intent? It's not like the golf, they're not going to give themselves that much of an advantage to move the earth so it rolls a half a turn, you know? So I like this. Anything that eliminates these just nitpicky type of rules, I like.
It's good stuff. Now, you mentioned about whether the ball in the hazard required to go out. No, but there is a maximum score that they're looking to set. That would be set by each committee. We're looking at possible double par or triple bogey. something to consider. Another pace of play issue. And I remember playing as a young kid, and my dad would always tell me, you know, you can't score more than a 10. That's all we're going to put on the card, or, you know, double par or whatever the case may be. So USGA is taking that into account now. We won't have those 14s on the hole and waiting for somebody as they're hitting 10 into the green.
Right. And we've seen something similar a little bit, I believe, with handicapping, with the equitable stroke control, yes. Something like that, where ESC. There's only so much you could take on a hole for a handicap, but physically, I mean, you could take whatever you make out there.
Exactly. It depends on how much you want to play, but, you know, it's almost a match play type mentality where, you know, just pick up and move on. Let's keep things going. So
I can definitely see that saving some significant time, especially with newer golfers. They get to that point where you're double par. You just pick up, try it on the next hole.
I like that too. Here's another fun one. There's some equipment rule changes. Currently, if your club is damaged due to the player, you can't use it. Using it, you're disqualified. Under the new rule, you can use it. So no longer will we see those pros putting with their 3-wood because right. You know, they were mad and they either chucked it into the lake or threw it into their bag and bent it. Now, if you damage it in normal play, you can replace it.
Right.
But I don't know how many golfers that have that luxury of replacing an item in the middle of a round. And I'm not about to run into the clubhouse on a 5-minute break and grab a new driver, but we'll see what happens with this.
Yeah. And I'm interested because that the big one is when the purposeful, because we do see that a lot in PGA Tour. Somebody bends that putter or something like that. So I'll be interested to see if they can just bend it back around a tree and keep using it.
I don't know. I guess they could bend it back, but probably just play it with it bent. That's probably the best case scenario.
Yeah.
And you made a comment about the rules. The new rule book will have additional graphics, and the terminology will be changed some to make it easier to read. They're talking about using you and pronouns such as that. Currently, for those that have read the book, it's written in legalese, and there's a reason for that. You know, there are millions of dollars on the line every day because of it. Although I like where they're going with the new format. I remember the first time I saw the difference between A ball and D ball, I just thought it was sentence grammar. But those are two completely different beasts. The ball is the one you are playing. A ball is every other ball in the world. That's Mike's ball, the one that somebody left, the one in your pocket, the one in your bag. So you can each have the ball and A ball. It's kind of interesting.
It is interesting, yeah.
It's legal semantics.
Yeah.
But in speaking of the new rules, there will be a player's edition, which is a condensed rule book that will just give the rules that you need to play on a daily basis and with those easier-to-read terms. So that's really exciting. I actually emailed the USGA and I said, hey, can I get that in a leather-bound edition? I don't know if they thought I was joking, but
I hope you get one.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, I wanted to just jump in real quick, not to mess up your flow, but
please.
When was the last time such dramatic changes have happened in this sport, or has there ever been?
Yes, I think they said it was like around 84 was the last major rule change. And, you know, that's kind of interesting, too, because you talk about the rules changing. Now, remember, every golf organization in the world, you've got the Royal and Ancient in England, and you've got, you know, Golf Canada, I can't remember the exact term, and the USGA, and there's the Mexican leagues. Everyone plays by the same rules. The committees meet every 4 years, kind of like the Olympics, and they make rule changes where needed to keep up with technology or just clarify rules because things are a little different.
Yeah, I mean, I ask because, you know, I'm thinking, I mean, how many years is that? 33 years? I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, the 50, the 60-year-old golfer who's been playing this sport for the last 30 years. They're just going to all of a sudden, you know, what are they going to do out there? They hit one out of bounds. I think I'm going to hit a provisional. And the other guy's got to say, hey, no, there's no more provisionals. You could just go do that. I mean, do they expect us to learn or absorb these things or just continue to play we always have?
Well,
you know, I mean, I don't see myself changing anytime soon. You know, I don't know. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, not at all. I think there will be some golfers that don't follow the rules now, so they won't follow them later.
That's true.
As far as you changing, I'm sure you will, because a lot of these are for the good of the game, for the good of the player. So it's kind of like learning the rules so that you can get those get out of jail free cards. You know, it's not always penal.
That's it. You said it right there. It's the motivation of when you start to realize it's going to help your game. You know, like
true.
You said, like somebody who can't get out of one of those deep bunkers and realizes now I can take a 2-shot penalty, you know, and as you said, with the new rules, or similar to the story you said about your father, if he had only known, he wouldn't have had to burn those 4 strokes. So I think that's going to be the real motivation when people start to see, hey, I can do that now. But this overall, you know, the theme that they're working with here is, and I just, like I said, keep coming back to the word, it's more friendly, and it seems like that pace of play. I'm just happy to see a sport that's as old as it is really keeping up with and understanding the main issues that the sport faces and adjusting to match it. You know, and we know the big thing everybody talks about, pace of play. It's hard to get out there, hard to spend 4 or 5 hours on a round, or, you know, it's hard to understand the rules. So the fact that they're adapting to that, I mean, it's a big kudos, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've come a long ways from the original 13 rules back in the 1800s. So, but to answer your other question, Mike, the USGA is planning on doing a lot of local training to help people through this progress. Granted, we've got almost 2 years, so
right.
I think a lot will pick up on then. They've also put out a lot of great infographics and explanations, and to help the podcast listeners, if you go to my website, thegolfrules.com, there's a tab under events called Golficity, and I've listed the infographics, the original notice by the USGA, a link to the USGA Golf Survey, Golf Rules Survey, which is really interesting. It's a fairly short read, but basically they'll bring out a lot of rules and ask, you know, do you like this? Do you hate it? Well, you know, add whatever comments you want. So you can go there, check that out.
I like that. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. And we'll post a link in the Facebook group so everybody can check that out. I think we're going to really see this discussion heating up in the next year or so as we get closer and closer to actually implementing these.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Facebook group, if anybody wants to throw out a rules question or even just say, hey, I heard you on the show, it was great. How about the first 5? We'll give them the Golf Rules Etiquette book. That was the second in the series. The first one, since it's about the rules, and we know we're going to have some changes going on, I'll not push that out too much right now.
I like that. Yeah, because, and then the etiquette book's an excellent, excellent book, and I appreciate you doing that for the listeners.
Sure, sure. And just to plug one more, last month came out with Short Stories from the Long Links, Volume 2. You can give away a few of those on however you want to. It's a fun read. I've heard so many great stories, even from non-golfers. Everybody's got a golf story.
Yeah,
you know, when I go to these book signings and that. So there's
that's excellent.
Been a lot of fun.
And for anybody who doesn't win one, how can they get their hands on one?
Pretty much available everywhere. You know, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, wherever you look. Just search the Golf Rules or Richard Todd.
Perfect. Yep. I can see a long list. I'm on Amazon now. I can see a long list under your name. So that's
great.
Yeah. We'll link to that as well. You know, keep it coming because it's really excellent. Like I said, it makes it so much more enjoyable being able to go through the rules in this manner and kind of addressing it in different situations. So Richard, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, work through these. You know, maybe when we get closer and they start to finalize these, we'll bring you back on the show and get a final update. But I do appreciate answering the questions because, you know, when they hit us with all these and then the questions started coming in the Facebook group, I said, let's get Richard involved because he knows this a lot better than I do.
No problem. It's great to be on, and I like talking about it.
All right. Excellent. All right. So we will we'll catch up with you soon. And like I said, for any of our listeners out there, if you want to get in touch with Richard, the best way to do so, just post a message in the Facebook group. You could tag him. He's there to answer. You can also check out his website at thegolfrules.com. Richard, thanks again for being on the show.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, Mike, just wrapping things up. That was really great. You know, there's so much to cover, and I think I'm looking at my list here as we went through. We probably hit on about 30 or 40 major changes, you know, out of the 100. Really great, really easy to understand. I think the one that shocks me the most is probably the flag stick.
Yeah.
It's going to take some getting used to.
It is.
But I think it's all good. I mean, like I was telling him, I mean, just the idea that we're making the game a little more friendly and a little more easy to understand and quicker, that's a home run.
It is. And you know what? I was going to kind of put you on blast and ask him on the side, what is the penalty for whiffing your tee shot like you did a couple weeks ago? So, Richard, if you hear this, just throw that answer in the Facebook group for me, because I know what the answer is, but I want to hear it again. Yeah,
just want to hear that the stroke counts, right? Yeah, I gotcha. All right. I'll remember that next time we're out there.
Fair game.
At least with making these rules a little easier, we don't have to bring our lawyer. You know, we can free up somebody in our foursome now.
True enough. I love it.
But anyway, thanks again for Richard coming on the show. Like I said, if you're in the Facebook group, if you have any questions, post them for him. Great way to get those questions answered. And also, if you're not in the Facebook group yet, now's the time. Jump in there. Check it out. Congrats again to all of our listeners, all of our winners of the Impact Snap. And like I said, we're going to have even more giveaways. We're going to try to get as much as we can give back to you guys. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see everybody again next week.